hopeless case. 'Cause somehow, every now and then, the whole world just comes crashing in. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us, because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Richard. Glad to be here.
Amen. Amen. Glad to be here. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
And good evening to you, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma.
Amen. And blessings here from a beautiful day here. Hit 45 degrees in Laramie and just beautiful here today. And well, men, I know we've got a couple callers, and I'll be standing by and let you know when they call in.
All right. Thank you, sir. Right. Appreciate it. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Hope is Alive, the testimony show about those who have overcome that which tormented them, that bothered them, that hindered them, that which kept them from having life and life abundantly. We do welcome you to tonight's broadcast. If you have any questions about deliverance, you can always go to deliveranceusa.com. Just about everything that's talked about here on this program is there at just a click of a mouse from the computer. Or you can get the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which is written by Pastor Cox. You can obtain that by calling Scriptures for America at 307-742-7582. Just let Richard know you want that book, and he'll get it sent out to you. And we do thank you, everybody, for joining us this evening. And, Pastor, good to hear you again. How was your day?
It was great. Beautiful day here until it got cloudy. It was nice temperatures in the 60s and low wind. Doesn't get much better now, but clouds came in later in the day and kind of messed up the pretty blue sky. But we'll take it nevertheless.
Sounds about like it's here, but our clouds should be coming in tomorrow evening. So, but it was a beautiful, beautiful fall day here in the Ozarks. And give thanks to the Lord, because this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. Pastor, tell us how this week went. Did you have any good deliverances?
Well, we had 11 cases once the smoke cleared and we got the numbers in. And it was a pretty routine evening. There wasn't anything spectacular, but that's the way most Mondays go. Low-key, the people that have come for deliverance typically will feel several dozen of the spirits come out through yawning, coughing, burping, or coming out the top of their head. And that was what we had Monday night. Routine, as we call it. It's seldom we have an outcry, and that's because we've learned over these years, 40 years that I've been doing it now, to prepare the people in a way that we the enemy does not have any fight left to speak of, and it's easy ministry, and yet we get to the goal line at the end of the evening where they look different, they look younger. The common comment is, "I feel lighter," and that's what we hear over and over. And it is lighter because they've unloaded about three dozen spirits. Not that they have any particular weight, you know. Even though they can, the most we've seen people lose weight in one session is 23 pounds. And that's been a number of years. That record has not been broken. It was 17 pounds for a number of years, and it was 21 pounds, and then finally 23, and that is the record standing of how much weight lost in a deliverance session. So those spirits apparently can have some weight to them. You know, being a hunter as I am and been up to Alaska, I have various, I have a moose and caribou and three sheep mounted. I keep saying, 23 pounds, so we got that one. But I'll bet somewhere out there is a 30-pounder and we're going to get it. So we're on the outlook for that. But it doesn't really matter. Some people don't seem to lose any weight at all. Strange as that sounds, but nevertheless, that's what we've seen over these years. And there's a lot of amazing things about dealing with the supernatural. As I often say, Ralph, I'm not surprised at anything.
I less and less surprises me these days. It really does. When something's told to me, I listen. I really listen to people because I used to think, oh, it's just in their head. And it's a lot of times it's not. And the reason they feel lighter, of course, is because a lot of times they have the proverbial weight of the world lifted off their shoulders. And Jesus does tell us, take my yoke because it's light and easy. And a lot of times people have the yoke of bondage upon them because of generational curses, because of unforgiveness, because of witchcraft, because of self-spoken curses, or curses just placed on them through unrepented sin. And that's the great thing about deliverance, is it helps take you through the processes of dealing with each one of those things individually. So, you know, it's one thing, in the morning, generally in the morning, I ask the Lord, forgive me for my sins, known and unknown. But that doesn't have as much power as when you know there was something in your life that you really haven't repented of, and you come forward and you lay that out, and that could be numerous things. And that's the great thing about the program and the process that Pastor has put together, is it deals a lot of those things in the door closing prayer, and also it deals a lot of that in the breaking of ungodly soul ties, because there's just so much that we don't realize we're hanging on to. And, you know, everybody always hears is give it over to Jesus, but it's one thing to say give it over to Jesus, another thing when you actually put it into practice and go through the process of handing all those things that are tormenting you over to our Lord. And the great thing about it is, as he says, cast my cares upon me because I'm willing to take them.
Amen. Amen. And that's so true. And you know, the last night, I was over with the teams. Monday night, rather. I was over with the teams. I do that once a month. instead of doing the usual teaching to the people that come for ministry and then taking them through the door closing prayer. And it was such a, it's so gratifying. I don't know, I didn't count them, but we must have had, 15, 20, maybe over 20 sitting in there going through training, and then some were seasoned ministers that came in and sat in. And I went back through the usual checklist. You know, as I'm always saying, if you can, to the new people, if you can get these steps down of after we do the door closing prayer, get these steps down of doing breaking the ungodly soul ties and doing the inner healing, which is so huge. Many ministries, deliverance ministries, don't do that. They don't do, especially the inner healing. And then, of course, after that, then we move into the actual deliverance part. And then we do the limb check, where our Jesus becomes the master chiropractor, praise God. He will adjust people while we watch. It's so awesome. And where they'll have short legs and arms that need adjustment from various physical traumas people receive. And we watch it come out, often an inch or two. And we went over that in the teaching. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one of the ministers pointed out that she last week had ministered to a woman, and she had fantastic deliverance. And, you know, going through a couple hours of deliverance itself. And then she mentioned receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. And the woman says, our church doesn't believe in that. And, you know, she was just kind of taken back that she'd receive all this deliverance, this supernatural stuff, and then she wouldn't receive some more supernatural. And I suggested to her, I'll ask her church if they're doing deliverance too. Of course they aren't. That's why she had come. But some doctrines with various groups of, you know, churches here and there, there's a scripture in, I think it's 2 Timothy 4:1, where there are doctrines of demons, and those doctrines have been put forth and become solid doctrines in various church groups to the point that they shortchange themselves from the fullness of the gospel, that salvation being the main issue. But then once you're born again, you have all the rest of this that you can receive to live life abundant. And it's still frustrating because of those solid doctrines that have developed for many, many years back in certain groups. So, but that's why, again, we're on the show tonight telling and having testimonies call in of how their lives changed as a result of this kind of ministry.
Amen. And you know, I had some time ago a brother in Christ talking to me, and he said, are you at that point in your life? Are you willing to give up what you thought was truth if the Holy Spirit reveals it to you? And since I've been doing that self-examination, I'm starting to get a little bit, things are more clear on some issues that I thought I was for sure on. That's an important thing, is to, as you know, John has been talking about quite a bit, Brother John, over the last several months, having that hearing and hearkening heart. Not just having a hearing heart, but one that's going to react to what it hears and hear and obey. And a lot of times we'll find out that when we were pretty sure of what we thought was solid, sound doctrine, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, sometimes he'll say, you know, maybe I wasn't right on that, and you can go back and read and look at it and take a closer look at it, because a lot of times we do follow the doctrines of demons and don't even realize it. And but then again, it's also a lot of times it's growing understanding the Word of God, because if we read it once, we wouldn't need it again, then it wouldn't be the living Word, now would it?
Well, that's right, the living Word. And, yep. And it's sad to see people cut themselves short of the fullness of the gospel. We have a huge gospel with all these these wonderful things available to us, and in so many churches they stop at salvation and don't go to the rest of it that Jesus told us to do.
You know, I'm looking here at my Bible I got in my lap, and I'm here looking at the last page of Revelation. It says I've got 1,751 pages. I'm fairly certain I don't have all 1,751 completely figured out. So I'm going to continue to study it, continue to read it, and let the Holy Spirit guide me. And before college come on, I was reading the book of James this evening. That's probably my favorite book in all the scriptures. And I was reading about the tongue. And, of course, you know, chapter 3 of that book really talks about how hard it is to control the tongue, how it's a, you know, it's worse than a small fire, you know, to spread to a big fire, and how, it, you know, it's such a small rudder can dictate a large ship. But it says with it, you know, in verse, let's see, where is it? With verse 8, for no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. And something I wasn't thinking about me cursing you. I was thinking how many times my tongue has cursed myself because I haven't bridled it in the words that I say. And that's a most common thing, because that's something that until I really discovered this part of the ministry, how often we actually curse ourselves with the words we say. And we talked about that a little bit, I think it was last week, with the I Ams. And I had shared with a customer today about the I Ams. In fact, Pastor, I gave your book to one of my customers today, and hopefully she's listening. I've had some witnessing with her a couple of times in the past, and she was seen to be very thankful for it. And I'm hoping and praying that if she's not listening to the broadcast, she'll look at the book and be able to get over those things that are tormenting her. But one of the things was, as I noticed, was her speech was negative towards herself. Not negative towards the word, but negative towards herself. And so that came to my mind when I came home. And here I was reading this, and I was thinking how often we can say that to ourselves. And I know that subconsciously she didn't even, I'm sure she didn't realize she was doing it. And but it is, I mean, it is hard to bridle that tongue. And but, you know, with the Word says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So with that, we can take that and we can work on it, and we can practice those positives. And saying those positives, that I am a child of God, I am loved, I am able to do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, I'm in a position of power, I'm in a position of authority. And we can say these things, and like I like the way you put it, Pastor, after you do it, it's like you've just flexed your muscles, you can go out and just take on the world.
Beat your chest, so, you know, that's who we
are.
Yes,
and
I always feel pumped after I read those. It's amazing.
Yes, it is.
Those I am.
It's a great tool. It's the yellow handout sheet. If you've ever been to Deliverance Ministries, they have. And we have what's called the I Am Professional Scriptures for America. And if you need one of those, you get a hold of Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. He'll get that out to you. I believe that's even online. I know that the I Ams that you have is on the line.
Yes.
I Am with DeliveranceUSA.com. But I think at Scriptures for America and the resources, the I Ams are online. But if it's not, we'll definitely get it out to you. It is a fantastic tool to have in your arsenal. If you do not have one, I highly suggest you do it. And as I was talking with her today, I said, as you're reading the Bible and you see those things, those promises to you as a Christian, and that's what everybody's got to remember, these are promises to the Christian. This whole New Testament is written to the believers. And as you see them, write them down as you come across and you see it. And and write them down to the side, highlight those, and speak them out loud, because you will see a difference in your attitude, you will see a difference in the way you feel, and the way that you even think when you speak these things, because he is the author, and he is who we confess. Jesus Christ is who we confess to.
Those are all positives, of course. And
yes.
Again, we get what we say, so do we want to speak negatives and get the negatives, or do we want to say the positives and get the positives of God's Word? The answer is clear.
Yes. I'd much rather have those positives. But it's part of the human nature. It's part of the work of the flesh. A lot of times, it's a spirit lying to your ears. I mean,
one of the greatest examples of that is from Kenneth Hagin over in Tulsa. I don't know if you ever heard his testimony, but he was on his deathbed as a young man, and they didn't think he was going to make it. And he was reading the Bible, and they came across Mark 11:23 and 24. And it's a scripture I memorized a long time ago, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but he believes those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever things he saith. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. He grabbed hold of that, and he started saying that he was healed, even though he obviously wasn't. He was doing Romans 4:17, calling those things that are not as though they are. And as he spoke the word, something supernatural happened, and he was healed. Kenneth Hagin in Tulsa, he based his whole ministry for the many decades that he did his ministry on that scripture. It's kind of like we can sort of base our deliverance ministries. We base it on Luke 10:19, that we have power over all the enemy and nothing will harm us. You know, you grab hold of a scripture and you just kind of keep holding on to it.
You know, that scripture there in Mark goes right along here with the scripture in James. In James chapter 1, it says, verse 6, he must ask in faith without any doubting. The one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And
yes.
That's the thing about believing these things in there. When you do it, you say it with faith without doubting. And I would bet that Mr. Keith probably had some doubts in his mind, but he held to the promise of what the word says. And that's the great thing about we may doubt what we do, but we have no doubt in the word of God. And that's what's so perfect about it, is because you could speak these verses, say them out loud, and these promises, and the word will perform itself. The word will perform itself.
And it is supernatural, Ralph. There's no other answer for it. It is supernatural.
No. You're right on that. You're right. Pastor, do you maybe need to send a text to the first caller? Because we're way past the time they would be calling in.
Well, yes, I can do that. Okay. I'll have to go offline and come back on.
Please.
But I've got her phone number here, so...
Yeah, well, I'll do that real quick. And
okay.
I'll hold down the fort while you're doing it. So,
okay.
If you haven't ever looked at the book Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox, just reading here right off of the cover page, or the cover of the book, it says proven steps of deliverance, healing of emotional wounds, physical healing, baptism in the Holy Spirit, and how to stay free and healed. And that's one thing that is real important that I like about Pastor's book here. That he's laid down is he just doesn't, okay, here you go, you're done, go. It's that key, how to stay free and healed. And that tells me that once you're healed, or once that you're set free from something, that it's easily be able to fall back into the pattern and bring that healing back. An example that I've often said to say to people is, you know, in the book of James, when we go to James chapter 5, verse 14, it says, if any among you are sick, he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed any sins, they will be forgiven of him. Now, the example is, say, let's say you have lung cancer, and the lung cancer comes from years and years of smoking. You can go to the church elders and be healed of it. We have had several testimonies over the years of people that been healed from stage 4 cancer. And but if you have that healing and then you continue to the smoke, continue not to take care of the body, it will easily will easily can come back. So that's the thing about the keys to staying free. And a lot of those keys to staying free are having Christian fellowship, reading your word. If you're not in your word, getting your daily bread, you're going to be sick spiritually. That's just the bottom line to it. We at Scriptures for America for years have really been encouraging people with the daily Bible plan to get people out there reading the word. And if you are following it, fantastic. I followed it last year. It was I loved it this year. I've just decided to let the Spirit lead me and guide me as I'm going through it. But if you're not reading your word and not knowing the word, it makes it very hard to stay free, because you can't battle the enemy, especially if the enemy lies to you. If you don't know the word, the enemy can easily trick you by making you think something is truth out of the word of God. And that is a perfect example of that is when Jesus was tempted in the desert. The devil was using scripture, but he was using it out of context, and he was twisting it, and Jesus knew it because he was a master of the sword, and was able to combat coming back. And that is a way that we can stay free whenever we have gone through deliverance or been healed, is to stand upon those words that are in the Bible. Pastor, are you back with us?
Yes, I am, and I talked to her, and she had texted me, but I got it mixed up with someone else I thought was texting, and she had to go to work or something all of a sudden.
Okay.
So
okay.
She wants to do it next week, she said.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to hearing her testimony next week. Pastor, I was just actually talking a little about your book, and I was talking to, was talking about the cover here and how the very end says how to stay free and healed. And one of the keys to staying free is, and as we've talked about, the I Ams, controlling the tongue, of course, reading your word, having good Christian fellowship. What are some other things there that are the keys to staying free?
Well, of course, worship. You know, read the word. You plug into Jesus is the first step, of course, and you do that by reading the word, praying, worshiping, and another one of the steps is have Christian fellowship. That's particularly important for someone that's coming out of some kind of a group, like a drug group or whatever group out there. It's time to change groups. And if you think you're going to get deliverance and go back to the same group, you're kidding yourself, because that'll flow back over into you and doors will wind up being open. So that's one of the steps. And, of course, another step, number 5 on the list, is keep the doors closed. And there's 15 doors that we've recognized over these 40 years that I've been doing it. And so what we do on Monday nights, I teach about the doors briefly so people can have an understanding of them before going through the door closing prayer that is designed to close these doors before we get into ministry. This is a huge difference compared to other deliverance ministries where they don't do a door closing. In the beginning, 40 years ago, we had a lot of fireworks, a lot of manifestations, because the enemy was, they hadn't had the rug pulled out from under them. They were very defiant, and people thrashing out of the chairs and on the floor and kicking, and we're down there on the floor with them and all that. And as we started learning about doors, the Holy Spirit started showing us, in applying them before we got into ministry, it started making a huge difference. And today, of course, I've tweaked the prayer 40 years, and it does a pretty good job of that, of where the enemy has hopefully lost a lot of their rights to be there. Some spirits will actually come out when we do the door-closing prayer. I'm standing up there looking at the people, and I see people yawning and some coughing here and there, and they tell us later how they felt stuff come out while we were in the door closing prayer. A lot of repenting of various things, and also breaking of curses. Plus, on top of that, where evil spirits can come through these 15 doors to torment Christians. On top of that, we find Satan's war room, and his demons are putting assignments out to block Christians' lives. And frankly, the stronger a Christian is in terms of using their God-given gifts, their anointing, the more of a target they are. So demons are put out on assignments, and they do a good job. They're very good at their job. And the good news of breaking assignments is all we have to do is do it in Jesus' name. Since we have all power to do it, we use it and break the assignments, and then we can command the demons of the assignments to go. But we go over those doors in the preparation so the people can understand them. It's, you know, what we found is if a person doesn't understand the doors, it's not likely he or she will keep them closed. So you've got to get enough education in all this to maintain your freedom and enjoying life abundant that Jesus meant for us to have. So that, and then right after that, the door resists the devil if something tries to come back. Since we have all power, if you recognize fear trying to come back or a depression or whatever, don't just sit there. Utilize the power you have in Jesus' name and command it to go by its function, by what it's trying to do in your life. And then confess God's positives, like those I ams we were talking about. And then the last one is make godly choices. You know, we are entities of free choice. Just as we could have chosen witchcraft if we should have wanted, people do that. But we chose Jesus, praise God. But we all have lies in our roads of various kinds. One is God's path, and one is the enemy's path. So when you hit that why, choose God's path. You know, the scripture, Deuteronomy 30:19, where God said, "This day I put before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose." And of course, he goes on to say, choose life, which is obviously the better choice. Choose life, and that you and your seed may live. And that's, you can see how that would apply to young people thinking about committing suicide. That scripture says, choose life that your seed may live. So if they commit suicide, they're actually killing their offspring that they could have had.
Well, as I was looking at that that verse in the New American Standard, it says, you know, if we have life, death, the blessing and the curse, to choose life. It tells me life is a blessing. So the other thing would be the death would be the curse, that you may live in your descendants. But something I was thinking about was the choices we make now could affect our descendants 2, 3, 4, 5 generations away.
Yes.
We may never even meet our descendants. I mean, very, very few people ever see their great-grandchildren, let alone their great-great. And when you start figuring the four-generational curse, you're dealing with your great-great-grandparents. And so the choices that we make today not only close the doors for ourselves, close the doors for the children. Many of us still have children in our home, many of us have children, already have grandchildren, but those choices that you make can affect them, and that it may not seem fair, but it's a fact of life, it's a fact of Scripture, so we need to do our best to make those godly choices. And
that really applies physically and spiritually then. You know, obviously, if someone commits suicide, they're not going to have any children. And so they, but then if they, it wasn't a suicide thing, but that spiritually, those curses of what they do, as you mentioned, flow on down the generations. That's one of the doors that we deal with, generational curses.
And the great thing about deliverance is once you go through deliverance and you no longer have those spirits that'll lie to you, torment you, and they're by assignment, it's pretty easy to start making the godly choices. It's really easy. Pastor, Phyllis is on the phone. Phyllis, thank you for calling.
Phyllis, are you there?
Yes, I'm hearing a busy signal. Do I need to call back? Hello?
How's that? Is that working now?
We
can hear you fine. Can you hear us?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Hello?
Guys, we must be having some problems with the phone lines tonight. Are you there, Miss Phyllis? I had her on the line, guys. Sorry about that. I'd spoken with her.
That's okay.
Let's try this. Miss Phyllis, are you there? Must not be. We must be having some phone line problems with the system here.
I'll bet she'll call back.
Well, as we're waiting for these to get out, we can kind of finish some of our thoughts there on that. But as I was saying, is that's one thing. Before I went through, it was introduced as part of the ministry of deliverance. I had went through that same almost a lie. Well, you just haven't really repented, it's just works of the flesh. You just ain't controlling your flesh. And there was things that I was doing. I knew they were wrong. I couldn't stand myself for doing them. From time, it wasn't like I was doing them every single day, but I would get by where I'm like, okay, I'm doing good, and then you just fall right back into it. You know, you hear that little spirit that would say, it's okay, you can do it this time, and no one will care. But once you're able to get rid of these spirits that lie to you, the controlling it and making the guy.
I don't know if you can hear me now. Can you hear me?
We can. I can hear you.
I can't hear anything.
Can you hear us? She can't hear anything.
Are you there? Can you hear Phyllis? We hear you fine.
Yeah, we can hear her, but we just I guess she can't hear us. It may be something.
Well, I come against all the principalities and powers. Amen. And rulers of the darkness that would interfere with these phone lines and interfere with the technology.
Yeah.
In this radio program.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
agree.
I bind you completely and totally.
Amen.
And I lose.
Yes.
The angels that will connect
Jesus
up
name.
The internet and the phone
Jesus
lines
name.
And the radio and all of the necessary connections that need to be made. So I say to you, angels,
yep.
go forth, do your jobs now.
Phyllis, we're hearing
in
you
Jesus'
fine.
Name.
Yeah,
I
guys,
thank you, Lord.
Apparently she
can't. The blood of Jesus over this.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Apparently she
glory
just can't.
God.
Just can't hear us.
Glory to God.
Is there
glory to God.
Volume that's down or
no,
something?
Sir. Everything's everything's
thank
up.
Thank you, Lord, for your deliverance. Thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this ministry that's so powerful. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Well, guys,
glory
go ahead, and I will.
Just need to let her pray.
Yeah. Amen.
Richard, can she hear you when?
Yeah. Let me.
Richard,
let me.
Can she hear you? Can she hear you when you're not on the air?
When I disconnect
thank
and
you,
talk
Lord.
To her, then I can. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll do that.
Maybe if you give her the bridge number, she could call in real quick on the bridge number, and then we get her testimony before we get run out of
okay.
time.
Okay, I'll do that. All right.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Wow, the enemy sure
well,
tried to block.
I know. I like the way she didn't even know we could hear her, the way she just took it on.
Yeah.
That's a good example. That was a good example of how to deal with these things. Is
yeah.
You know, sometimes we get frustrated. We're on the air. It's a little embarrassing at times, but, you know, she just went straight to her authority, her power. She was speaking it. She was speaking it, sending forth the angels, practicing all the things that I know she's been learning. So that was fantastic.
Yeah.
I was just sitting back and listening to her pray, because that was a good example of how to handle something. And I know that in faith that here we are, we prayed, we're going to get her on here and get her testimony. And if something happens, we don't, we'll get her testimony before everything's all said and done next week.
She's out in Colorado.
So.
Out in Colorado.
Yeah. So, but we'll Oh, is that
That's Phyllis from Springfield.
I know who this is.
Yeah.
She's been out in Colorado, yes. So, is Phyllis, are we there now?
Well,
we're she's calling in on the bridge. She's calling in on the bridge, okay. Guys, so you should hear it chirp, yep. And hear it in just a second, hopefully.
Okay. So, I didn't realize it was that Phyllis, Pastor.
Well, I figured you'd figure it out pretty quick.
Figured out, yeah. She's in Colorado because I know she's been getting everything, trying to get a house taken care of out there so she can get it sold because she's coming to, I believe, live full-time in the Ozarks. And she does a lot of things down here. I see a lot of her posts on social media, and I smile when I read them. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to get the time or the free time to get over. It's a shame that they meet on Tuesdays because I'm just, as the crow flies, I'm just about 4 or 5 miles where they meet. But I'm usually out of the road on Tuesdays. Phyllis is, I know she'll have some good testimonies because she's a hard-working servant for the Lord. She really is. I mean, she is a good example of someone who goes out there and isn't just a hearer of the word. She's a doer of the word. And
she came down and got ministry herself. I don't know. It's been a year or two ago, and it really ran with it, and went back and started ministering to people.
Yes. Is Phyllis, are you there now?
Yes, hallelujah.
Yes.
All right.
Yay!
Well,
we got around this obstacle, didn't we? Yes, we did.
This has to be a good testimony. The enemy was sure trying to block it. It would seem.
No kidding! I even had my pen wasn't writing when I got the second phone number, and I had to go back over it, and I had to call back again to verify the number. I'm telling you what, glory to God. We're taking this mountain down.
Well, amen. And so, Phyllis, we got to 55 or so after the hour. Why don't you go ahead quickly on some history and how you got into deliverance and what's going on?
Well, I'll tell you what. I am so grateful to God for your ministry, and I'm so grateful that you were obedient to the Lord to carry everything out that you've done. I just give him all the glory for it. I was trying to figure out the years. I think it was like 31 years ago. I can't remember. Anyway, I have to subtract the years to figure out how old I am, too. So, anyway, it was about 31 years ago and was filled with the Holy Spirit shortly after that. I've been seeking the Lord most of my life since then, reading in the Word of God, and just doing a lot of things for the kingdom, but yet there were things in my life that I needed freedom from, and I could not seem to get set free. Well, 3 years ago, I went through a very terrible divorce that was, it really put me down, and I was in an abusive marriage, and I could not think straight. I had a lot of anxiety, depression. I had to basically move home with my parents. I couldn't even think straight enough to open up a new bank account. And I knew that I needed deliverance. I knew that I needed help, that I could not find anybody to help me. I prayed. I fasted and prayed. I spoke the word over myself. I did everything that I knew to do. And to be honest, Everett, I could not find a church. I could not find a person. I could not find anyone who could pray with me. I was ready to go to John Eckhart's church in Chicago because I knew at least he would have trained ministers that could help pray for me. That's when my friend Janice called me. She was my prayer partner in Aspen, and she said, Phyllis, you need to come here to Oklahoma City to Deliverance Ministries, Everett Cox. I will sign you up for the deliverance team. I said, do it. I drove 4 hours myself, but the week beforehand, I fasted and prayed. I sought the Lord. I prayed in the Spirit the whole way there. It was a four-hour drive or so. By the time I got there, I was ready, and I was expecting, and I knew that God was going to meet me at my need. And He did. He did. He met me.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you what, I have never looked back. Everything has just jettisoned in my life since. Now, everything wasn't rosy right after the deliverance. In fact, the enemy came and tried to regain control. And I said, no, I had to walk it out. You had the good resources that you gave me. You had the I am statement. You had the ways to stay free. You had all of the suggestions. You had the blessing list. You had everything that I needed to get a jettison start, and I used it all. Then I went further. I just dove into the Word, and I was just declaring and decreeing that God was going to continue to move in my life. He has. 2 years later, I'll tell you, I went to my church, and I spoke to one of the pastors, and I said, look, I said, I feel like our ministry team needs more training. The healing ministers need more training. And I said, I feel strongly that we need to train people in deliverance ministry. Well, I gave him your materials, and he handed them back to me, and he said, well, we're going to go another route. And that's when the Lord said to me, you've done what I've asked you to do. It's time to go elsewhere. So I started speaking what he wanted me to do. I was very sad. And I remember I called and talked to you, and I told you, please be in prayer about this, because this is a vital turning point for this church to provide for the people. I truly believe, Everett, that every person needs deliverance. Because what happens is, people accept the Lord as their Savior. They accept Jesus into their heart, and they ask for forgiveness. But yet, the workers are not in place to set the captives free. Jesus did this. Jesus did it. Then he.
And you had a water. You had a water baptism as well. Didn't
yes,
you?
I did. Yes,
yeah,
I did.
The whole
Mm-hmm. I did it all, and yet the church, the active church today, is not overall administering deliverance to set the captives free, and it's available. And so this is exactly what happened. In February, God brought the first person to my door. I was having coffee with a friend. I figured she would be there an hour. 4 hours later, the conversation continued, and I said to her at the end of the fourth hour, I said, I'm going to be bold, but I feel like the Lord is showing me that what you need is deliverance. And her eyes got as big as a dinner plate, and she said, yes, and Jesus told me you have the key.
Well, ooh, glory. Praise God.
I said, well, this is what I feel like we need to do. You need to go home, fast, ask God what you should fast. Because sometimes it's not food. Sometimes it's something like social media, or, you know, maybe there's something else in your life that you shouldn't be doing, that's something that you should give up unto the Lord and spend that time in prayer. And so I told her to fast. And also to listen to your two videos that you have on your website. The first one, which is your testimony. The second one, which is the door closing prayer. I have every person watch those. Then she came to me. We prayed. I gave her the problem list. She filled it out. We sought the Lord. we were Holy Spirit led. I established that we have the authority. We closed all of the, we did the soul breaking, the soul tie breaking prayer. Then, I can't remember the exact order because I use your book. I love your book.
Inner healing.
So, yeah, we did the inner healing, right. And sometimes it's really amazing because many times until we get deep into prayer like this, people have suppressed things so long in their lives that the enemy has hidden the root cause for so many things that the people are afflicted with. It could be emotional, it could be mental, it could be physical. It could be the physical manifestation of something that was implanted and a trauma that happened early on in their life that they have completely forgotten about. And it's just amazing to see how free the people get. Well, this first person was completely set free and have stayed free. So far, 19 people have been brought to my door, men and women. Young and old, and all of them have been believers. All of them have been spirit-filled. All of them have been held captive by the enemy, but all of them were completely set free by Jesus.
Hallelujah.
It's Hallelujah. So and the most recent one was when I was here in, I'm in Colorado right now trying to prepare my home that I have for sale. I'm going to sell it. The Lord told me it's time to sell this house, and He's got another plan for me. I truly believe it is to establish a healing and deliverance center in Southwest Missouri or Arkansas. I've got my eye on 7 acres right on Scenic Highway 7, and it's about 7 miles south of the Glory Tabernacle. Now, you tell me if God's in this or not. I truly feel strongly that it is going to be a place of healing, prayer, praise, worship, and deliverance for many people who have been held captive. There's no internet, hardly. There's no TV. There's no shopping. There's no family. It's all going to be dedicated to God and to His kingdom. And I'd love for you to be in prayer with me on this house selling and me finishing up the work. But through the work of me coming here, God has opened doors for deliverance and for salvation. And it's been amazing. My neighbor across the street got saved. Another friend, I knew she desperately needed deliverance. But this is another key, which I know you know. This is a key. Even though you know somebody needs something, you can't say it. They have to ask for it. Because until they're ready, until the person is ready to walk it out, to ask for freedom,
yes,
to ask for deliverance, it does not do any good at all to try to force this on somebody or try,
yes,
to make them, try to make them try to believe something. It has to be Holy Spirit led. So I prayed and prayed for her for a long time, but this time she asked. 3 days before deliverance, she came to me and asked, "Please pray for me. I need help." So I prayed for her and I said, "I feel like the Lord is saying to you, He wants time with you. You go back to our hotel room and seek the Lord. Run into His arms. If you just lay in bed all the rest of the day and spend time with God, that's what you should be doing. He loves you." She did that. She read the Word and sought Him. And a few days later, she said to me, "I'm ready for you to pray deliverance prayer over me." We spent 5 hours, and I had her listen to your videos first off. Then, while we were in the woods. We did this out in the woods in the beautiful aspen trees that were changing color. We spent time in the high country, and we prayed. She was completely, totally set free, delivered.
Praise God.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, equipped, and I make the people repeat after me all of the I am statements to immediately start establishing their identity in who God says they are.
Yes.
And then we did a few of the blessings for those people that have come against them. Then we went over how to stay free and then what to do if you fall back into sin. Ask for repentance. Realize you're the one who did it, not somebody else. No one else is to blame. But God immediately forgives, and he
Amen,
immediately
he
restores. And it's such a beautiful thing. It's so simple. It's so simple. It's not complex at all.
And their life is turned around.
Yes,
how awesome is that? In a matter of hours.
Yes.
So, Pastor, unfortunately, we are out of time.
Yeah.
So you'll need to come back on again. Have to come back on again and give some more of your testimonies. I know that you're doing a lot of work. And when you get that, the Lord put you there and you set it up, I can't think of a prettier place in the United States than down there on 7.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful country down there. That is a beautiful
thank
country.
God.
I travel that often. But we do thank you for coming on this evening. We thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks, Phyllis.
We'll see everybody
thank
next
you.
Wednesday. Again,
God
that's DeliveranceUSA, DeliveranceUSA.com. If you have any questions, and God bless everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. God bless you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, ooh,
and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, ooh,
and to overcome,
ooh,
all the power of the enemy.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.